Open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 13. If you missed any of the meetings, you've missed a lot. You've been having good times. You've been having some very good meetings, very good messages. Thank God, I see His hand. I see how well the messages have been fitting. It's incredible how well they've been fitting together. And I just thank God for His blessing, and I pray that it continues that way.
Amen.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed.
Amen.
And that knowing the time. One of the most common things that people ask, is constantly asking, what time is it? Everybody's asking, what time is it? Even when during a message, everybody's looking, what time is it? You start going a little bit over the time, everybody's like, what time is it? It's time for you to finish. What time is it? It's time for me to go home, take my medicines. Always time for something. And here Paul says that knowing the time, you know, we need to know what times we are in right now.
Amen.
The times we are in are very interesting times.
Amen.
Actually, I would say they are the end of times. Very soon, Christ will come back. He will reappear very, very soon. And Paul says in that knowing the time. Time is an important matter, is it not? We base our life upon time. You are as old as you are because of time. And because of time, we schedule our lives. You wake up at a certain time, sometimes you oversleep. Sometimes you wake up early, sometimes you don't sleep at all, and there's just time is just something that we're constantly having to schedule our lives around. And yet we have so little time for what is really important. Our lives are so limited in what we can actually do for Christ.
Amen.
Because of all the other things that take our that distract us. Of all, you know, we have our careers, we have our family, we have responsibilities and so on and so forth, that really it leaves us very little time for the most important things.
Amen.
And sometimes the most important things are left for the last.
Right. Amen.
And we give Christ the remainder of what is left over from our time.
Amen.
I was preparing this, I read a phrase, and I was asking around in my house if people knew what it means. Time is of the essence. Like, oh, philosophical now. Time is of the essence. Time. What does it mean? Time is now. Is important. Time is of the essence. If you're sick and dying, the doctor is doing operation, you want him to think time is of the essence.
Amen.
You don't want him to take his time like, we got tomorrow. No, he'll survive one more day. It's okay. You need a transplant now, and that's a problem with socialist medicine in Poland. You know, you need a heart transplant. Oh, and come back in 15 years. We'll have one ready for you then. Thank you very much. Thomas Jefferson said, never put off for tomorrow what you can do today. I think that's a very good quote. Never put off for tomorrow what you can do today. How many of us do that? Say, you know what? I have tomorrow.
Amen.
You know what? I have tomorrow. You are not guaranteed tomorrow.
Amen.
God never said you will have tomorrow. You have today.
Amen.
That is the same preaching, what we do about the gospel. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Today, not tomorrow. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. Too many people, too many of us, and too many times we say, you know what? I will serve God tomorrow. You remember that story with Pharaoh? When they had the plagues, I can't remember which one it was, if it was frogs or one of them, and, huh? Frogs, yeah, it was frogs. Now there are frogs and all over and everything in the soup and the beds, and it's just disgusting everywhere. And Moses said, "Well," he said, "I'll pray." He said, "When should I pray for to take them away?" The poet Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." I'm pretty sure he went home. His wife said, "Oh, stupid idiot! Tonight you're not gonna have a good night's sleep. Tomorrow, come on." You know, that's how we are sometimes. That's how we act. You know what? I will do something important tomorrow. Tomorrow. Well, what time is it? Everybody look at the watch. Not time for that. What time is it? Well, this is certainly not time for self-pleasures. Amen. Certain these times are not times for self-pleasures. This time is not time for entertainment, for laziness, for rest. A lot of we've been speaking a lot about, you know, the older men, you know, who are maybe already retired and you just want to sit back and rest. No, it's not time to rest. You'll rest in heaven. When I think of older men who work to the day they die, I think of my grandfather, who, Dale West, who did what God wanted him to do to basically the day that he died. 2 months before he died, before he found out they had brain tumor, he was already ready to go down to Mexico with another group of people. 2 months later, he passed away. He was working. He was doing something today. Each day that God gave him. I think of Brother Lindell. These are examples of men who are giving their lives and doing something today. Working. There is no time for rest today, brothers and sisters. Rest we'll have in heaven. We need to do something. There are thousands and millions of people dying outside right now just because so many Christians in this country and around the whole entire world think, I will do it tomorrow.
Amen.
I'll tell my friend tomorrow. I'll preach the gospel to my family tomorrow. I'll tell them the good news tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Amen.
Do it today. And I was thinking about the time. What does the Bible talk about the time? You know, there's just, you just look at the concordance and just verses just full of time. But I want to look at just a few that I found that I thought were blessings that I thought really fit in what we are in right now. Look, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke, chapter 21. Verse 24, this is one verse that we can't go through the whole context, but here we're talking about the Gentiles. It says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." The times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You know what times you're in right now? The times of the Gentiles.
Amen.
Is there anybody in here that is a Jew? I didn't think so. You know what? You're a Gentile.
Amen.
You know what? That's, thank God, this is a time for the Gentiles.
Amen.
You know what? Your family is in the times of the Gentiles. It says here, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which tells me one thing. The times of the Gentiles will come to an end. And when will that time come? That is a real scary thought. This could come directly on the time that you said tomorrow.
Amen.
One of my uncles from Town East Baptist Church, one time they sang a song, "You came to Christ one day too late." And I think the same thing. We gave our lives one day too late. We told God, I will do that tomorrow, one day too late, and then Christ came. The end of the times of the Gentiles came. And that was it. And your time was up. That time exactly is up. the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Let's take that the situation, the possibilities, the things that we have today, and let's do what we can today. Let's take the time that God has given us and use it for His glory, not for our self-pleasure. Too many times we fall into that trap.
Amen.
Turn with you, if you could, in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground,
Amen.
For it is time to seek the Lord,
Amen.
Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You know what it's time for? It's time to seek the Lord.
Amen.
It's time to stop playing around.
Amen.
Brother Stephen had a good message about young men. It's time to be a man.
Amen.
It's time to take responsibility. It's time for us to decide and to figure out that it is not time for our pleasure. It's time to give Him pleasure. Time to give Him pleasure.
Amen.
It's time to do something for Him.
Amen.
It says here, it's time to seek the Lord until He come and rain righteousness upon you. Don't you want it to rain righteousness upon
Amen.
You.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen.
His righteousness. His blessings. Showers of blessings. But we cannot have that if we are living the way we live each and every day that we have up to this point. There must come a point when we decide it is enough. I must do something. God has given me so much that I must give it back to Him.
Amen.
God has done so much for me. What have I done for Him?
Amen.
What have I done? It's time. It's not time to seek for money. I think of that. I think of the situation we have with Naaman. Real quick, the 2 Kings. Just Naaman, whenever he was sick. 2 Kings chapter 5, just a quick little thought that came to my mind. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman came to Elisha for a miracle. He wanted to be healed. He was a leper. And he came and he got that miracle. It's a great story. If you never heard it, never read it, read it. Chapter 5 is a great story. Perfect example of salvation. Beautiful picture. If you read it, look at it, it's just gorgeous. We don't have time to go through it. But I want to show you what happened to his servant. His servant, Elisha's servant, Naaman came and was ready to give presents and gold and garments and things to Elisha. Elisha said, no, no, no. So he turned him away and he went off. And here we have where the servant went after him and said, you know what, my master changed his mind. He actually wants them. He'll take whatever you got. Well, Elisha didn't say that. It was all his desires. Verse 26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is it time for these things? No. It was not time. This servant completely destroyed the miracle that God created, did in this man by being greedy. How many times do we destroy what God has created and done for us just because we were greedy?
All right, amen.
We wanted more, a better career. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that these things are bad. Money is not necessarily a bad thing. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, not money itself. This man loved money more than God's the commandments. More than what the prophet said, more than Elisha said, no, I don't want that. He was greedy. It's not time for that. It was not time for that. Ephesians chapter 5. Giving you some things to think about. I pray that we will think about these things and not only think about them, but act upon them.
Amen.
Thinking is one thing. We have a brother in Poland. Bless his soul. And I love, we can say anything we want about somebody if we say bless his heart. If you say bless his heart, you can say, you know, he's a stupid idiot, fool, but bless his heart, you know. And then it's okay. But bless his heart, he thinks too much. He's a philosopher. He loves to think. I tell him, stop thinking. Just do it. Stop thinking through things and just do them.
Amen.
Oh, we can think about it all day long and we waste the whole entire day until we realize, hey, the day is gone. Let's just act upon what God has spoken to us. Let's do something. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. I like this. Because you know what it tells me? It tells me two things. First, it tells me that we have wasted so much time before. And that now we have opportunity to redeem that time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Think about how much time you and I wasted before we got saved. Before God took a hold of us. Sometimes you were 20, sometimes in your 30s. I praise God I was only 6. I don't have a lot of time to redeem. No, it's easy. But I praise God that I was 6 years old when I got saved. But how old were you? When did Christ take hold of your heart? And how much time did you waste? Do you regret not getting saved earlier? Do you regret saying, oh, if only I could have been just 5, 10 years earlier, I could have done so much more. I wasted my life on those, whatever I did, whatever you did. Redeeming the time. We have regrets about not using the opportunities that were presented to us. Now it's time to wake up and redeem the time. It's time to do something to redeem the time. Why? The days are evil. And they're just getting worse.
Amen.
I pray and I fear for what my children will grow up as adults and what they will see in this world. I look how what were during the times of my parents. I think it wasn't that bad. Now it's just like, it's just incredible. I think, how much worse can it be? You know what? I'm pretty sure they thought the same thing at their times. I'm pretty sure if in their times they thought, how much worse can it be? But then you have technology that comes in, and the internet, and a whole bunch of other things that just completely destroy so much of our time, of our efforts, of our concentration, of everything is wasted on useless and ridiculous and fruitless things.
Amen.
And we do not get anything out of it except just plain so-called pleasure today.
Amen.
What will you show for it?
Amen.
What will you show for it in the day when you meet your Maker? That's scary. That's a scary thought. Let's stop regretting, brothers and sisters. Let's stop regretting.
Amen.
I wish I could do more. Do it.
Amen.
Stop regretting about not doing something and start doing something. Maybe it takes you just to do something little.
Right. All right.
I know that we've been talking during this conference about doing just something big and huge. That's fine. But sometimes we need to work our way up. Try small. Try to go out and just smile at somebody. Try to say good morning. I don't know. If you have a hard time, you know, talking to people, just go to Walmart and say good morning to everybody you meet. You know, it's easy in the States. Believe me. In Poland, you say good morning. They're like, do I know you? Like, no, well, then don't talk to me if you don't know me. You know, stay away from me. You know, you have 50 feet radius. Away. Until they're drunk and they didn't want to get up and kiss you in the face. And that's another story. But let's do something. I am sick and tired of seeing just pew warmers. Seats, people that are just sitting in the seats and just sitting and feed me, feed me, feed me. I'm here to be fed. Instead of saying, you know, what is my turn to give back?
Amen.
When is it your turn to give back?
Amen.
Today. The time is now.
Amen.
It's your turn to give back today. And yes, if you're doing something, do a little bit more.
Amen.
If you're doing something, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I glorify God that you're doing something. But you know what? Don't just be satisfied with just a little bit. Don't just be satisfied with that. Do more.
Amen.
I'm serious. Believe me, there's nothing better than laying up treasures in heaven. Nothing better.
Amen.
The more you do it, the more you'll be satisfied. The greatest satisfaction I've learned in my life is when I'm doing something for other people. That's the greatest satisfaction. But I want to remind you, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Don't just give your time just because you have to. It shouldn't be about I have to. It shouldn't be an obligation. It should be a privilege.
Amen.
To do something for Christ. A privilege to do something, give back to what He has already given you.
Amen.
No matter if we had 1,000,000 years or the rest of eternity to pay off the debt that Christ already paid, we would never be able to do it.
Right.
Let's do something.
Amen.
Let's get out. Let's do. Let's talk. Let's preach. Let's pass our tracts. Let's do something. Be a good testimony.
Amen.
Wherever you are, no matter what you're doing, be a good testimony.
Amen.
People are watching you. If you announce at work that you are a Christian, there will be eyes upon you every single moment of the day. And you let your guard down and you destroy a testimony, that's a hard thing to build back up.
Amen.
Let's be careful. Let's watch. Let's wake up. Let's see what's going on. Let's redeem the time because the days are evil. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Amen.
Blessed is he that readeth.
Amen.
Blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy. When we teach our sons, we have a list of verses that we have devotions every morning. We have about 80 verses that we teach our children every morning to memorize. We pick about 5 or 6 or 7 out of them and we just go over them. And one of them is this verse. And Colin was about a year ago. He was small. He was 4 years old and he was worried. He said, "Dad, I don't read. I hear that it says, 'Blessed is he that readeth.'" I said, "I'm not blessed." He was worried. I said, "So, Colin, it says, 'And they that hear the words of this prophecy.'" Do you hear it? Yes. Can you hear? That's all. You're blessed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You see, every single person can be blessed if you put your ears and your eyes on the right stuff.
Amen.
Blessed is he that readeth. They that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Once again, it's not just about listening. Not just about hearing. It's about doing.
Amen.
It's about actions. I'm sick and tired of not seeing action.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Action. I like when I see action. That's why I get so frustrated in Poland when I'm preaching and people just walk right by me. It is the most frustrating thing that I don't see any action. Even if it's angry, I can handle it.
Amen. Amen.
Soft answer turneth away wrath. If you do it the right way, you can change it around and you can really use it for your advantage. I like to see action. I like to see action in the church.
Amen.
I like to see some movement. Something happening. I don't like to see same thing over and over and over and hearing the same thing and hearing the same complaints and hearing people complain about not doing anything and they don't do anything. If you want to do something, do it.
Amen.
Get out and do something. The time is at hand. Time is now. Now is the time. Let's not waste any more time. Let's not waste any more of God's precious time that He has given us. Amen. Our lives are like a vapor. Here and gone tomorrow. Vapor. What will you do for Christ in that time? Will it be a blessing for others or will it just be self-pleasure? And you have nothing. Nothing. And you'll be... thank God you will not lose your salvation. I want to thank God for that.
Amen.
I thank God for that promise of God that we will never, ever lose that. Oh, but you can lose a lot of crowns. You can really just be a simple doorman in the kingdom of heaven instead of having your own mansion. Instead of having something to show for your life. Let's go back to Romans chapter 13. This verse really touched my heart. When I plan on coming for a mission conference, I usually read when I'm having my devotions. I look for specific things that'll fit for a mission conference, and this is one of the verses that I've been thinking about and going over my head, over and over in my head since for about 6 months now, and it blessed me. God has been doing something in my heart, and I want to share it with you guys too. Says here that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. High time to wake up. It's high time. Meaning, you overslept. Yeah, I think of high time, I think, you know, the sun is high. I think of, you know, it's high time. It's ready to get up. My great-grandfather, Papa West, he would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, wake everybody up in the house. Morning! Wake up! Oh, this time, the day's half over. About 11 o'clock, we got to go to work. We got to do other things. Either taking a nap, 11 o'clock. You know, morning! Hey, wake up! Revenge time. It's high time to wake up. It's high time to do something. This is your wake-up call. This is me knocking. It's your wake-up call.
Amen.
Wake up.
Amen.
Stop sleeping. Stop looking at the world through sleepy eyes. Wake up. See the world that is evil, that people are dying, that they don't know the way like you know the way. Thank God you are saved. But what about others?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What about others? How will they know if they are not told?
Amen.
Will you tell them?
Amen.
Will you go and tell them? Now that means anywhere. That could be here. That could be in Poland. Anywhere you go, you are called to tell people.
Amen.
This mission conference is not only about trying to get and also, but also to try to get people to surrender their lives to go. Maybe if somebody is being called. I pray that is the case. But also, this mission conference is to wake us up.
Yes, amen.
To stir us up.
Yes,
to do
amen.
Something within us that we will start doing something. Because possibly, great, just possibly, God will use you to touch somebody else that they will be here for the next mission conference and they will surrender to go to Poland.
Amen.
Is that a possibility? That is a possibility. It is a possibility. Maybe that person will go somewhere else to Iran. We were talking about this morning. Brother Billy wants to go to Iran. She's worried. Don't worry, he's lost his adventure. If you missed the morning meeting, you missed a very good, interesting meeting this morning. It was a lot of fun. Getting Billy in trouble. Just maybe something will happen. Just maybe God will touch somebody tonight. And just maybe, because of you, you will touch somebody else. And maybe you're not called, but maybe they will be. Wouldn't it be a loss? Wouldn't it be a great shame if we still, after this, are still asleep? We still do not do anything and we miss opportunities.
Amen.
And people die, go to hell.
Amen.
Just because we were so self-centered, selfish, and lazy. Let's wake up.
Amen.
Let's stop sleeping. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ye are the children of light, and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet the hope of salvation. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I heard a lot of amens the second time. I think he finally woke up. If you're saved tonight, you are the children of light.
Amen.
So act like one.
Amen.
Act like a child of light. Don't act like the child of night. Don't act like you don't know anything. You know enough to show somebody where they are headed.
Amen.
If nothing else, be like that blind man who said, I don't know anything except one thing. Once I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
That's all it takes to win somebody over for the Lord. That's all it takes for you to tell your testimony, like Brother Trini was telling yes last night. Tell your testimony. Oh, we can do that. Amen. We can open my mouth. We can say what God has done in me, He can do in you. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, nor his ear. What's the word? Verse Isaiah chapter. I gotta look it up. Heavy, thank you. Dear heavy that it cannot hear. Yes, praise God. God can save anybody.
Amen.
Anywhere, anytime. It's interesting that people say, "Oh, I'm too bad. I can't be saved." I ask people, "Are you worse than Paul?" I mean, the Apostle Paul said, "Yeah." Well, no, he was a perfect man. He was a saint. I said, no, not before. Do you know what he did before he got saved? He was a murderer of women and children. And God saved him. He can do miracles, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
He can change the heart of such a man. He changed yours.
Thank you, Lord.
Why do we limit God? Why do we limit God? Because we limit Him. Every single time we don't go out and do something.
Amen.
We limit His Word from touching people's hearts. You limit God. We limit God. And that shouldn't be what we should do. We are children of light. The children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. But let us who are of the day be sober. Meaning awake, meaning vigilant, meaning paying attention. Let's stop sleeping.
Right. Amen.
There are some Christians that are asleep. He says here, as some are, right?
Right.
Some are. That's just a shame.
Yeah. Amen.
That's just a shame that some Christians are asleep. We should not be asleep.
Amen.
We should wake up and do something. High time to wake and do something. We need to watch and be sober. You know, I think of a good watchman. A good watchman actually watches. Doesn't sleep. Right? A sleeping watchman is a dead watchman. Think about it. I love reading Western books. And every single time when there's somebody who's on the watch, to watch over, there's one common thing that I've noticed. They never look into the fire. Their backs are against the fire, looking into the night, listening. Why? The fire gives off heat, makes you drowsy. In the summertime, you don't really feel it because it's really cold in here, guys. But in Poland, when we have the heaters on and in the wintertime, long sermons are getting really drowsy. You're getting nice and cozy and warm. We need to wake up.
Right. Amen.
We need to be watchmen. Amen. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because our adversary, the devil, is out there waiting. Waiting. He's seeking to devour you.
Amen.
It just takes 1 second.
Right.
It doesn't take much. All it takes for you to let your guard down and you're shot.
Guilty. Amen.
Let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant. You know, I read, I don't know if any of you remember one during the meeting before the mission conference, there is a story in 2 Samuel. You don't have to go there. But 2 Samuel chapter 15 is a wonderful story about Absalom. Absalom was the son of David, and he wanted to be king. And the outcome of what he did, of all his trickery that he did in this chapter, the first 6 verses of that chapter, he did some very sneaky things, very, you know, sly. But the outcome, the Bible says that he stole the hearts of the Israelites. He stole the hearts of all the Israelites from his father David. That sounds to me like the devil. He wants to steal your heart. He wants to take your heart.
Amen.
He wants to destroy everything that God has already created. We see that in creation, don't we not?
Right.
We see that what people do. We have such very little time left, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We have such very little time. Why not use it for His glory?
Amen.
Why not tonight decide, you know what? I've lived my life. It's done nothing but harm.
Yes. Amen.
I've lived for myself. I've backslidden. I've been away from God. It's time to give up.
Amen.
It's time to hand over the reins to Him. It's time for Him to wake me up and say, okay, it's enough. It's enough. Wake up. Get to work. Let's go back to our text, Romans. For it's high time to wake out of sleep. It's high time to wake out of sleep. I want that to be the key note tonight. It's high time to wake out of sleep. Dear Christians, dear brothers and sisters, I love you so much. I want us to work. I want us to work together, like-minded. I want us to do something. I want us to wake out of sleep. All of us, each and every one of us, have to do something. We can do something.
Amen.
You can do something.
Amen.
When I was younger, I was pretty hard on myself. I thought I couldn't do anything. I felt like a failure, and my father always said, can't, never did anything. Can is winning.
Amen.
Can't, never did anything. You can't, you'll never do anything. But can, yes I can. Yes you can.
Amen.
Yes you can. And with the Lord's power, the Lord's help, you can.
Yes,
and we will.
Amen.
We must. We must, brothers
Amen.
And sisters, if we want to do anything good with our lives, we must
Amen.
Awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Do you know that when you got saved, Christ is that much closer today? He is that much closer today. It could be tomorrow. Lord, please come.
Amen.
I pray, but you know what? That's easy for me to pray that. I'm ready.
Amen.
But there are so many people who aren't. Let's think about your family. Oh, it's such a hard thing, isn't it, to pray for God's return? It's like a mixed feeling, and it's a hard thing.
Amen.
It really is. You know, you want Christ to return, but then at the same time He returns, and your family hasn't quite believed yet. You're close. Maybe they're just around the corner, but if He comes tonight, you don't know. So how about we make sure that they are saved before He comes? How about we do something? Get out and do, pray, be instant in season and out of season. Every single moment that you have of opportunities, use them for God's glory. Time is so short, dear Christians. Are you asleep? Are you asleep to the cries of help that people are out there? Please come. Help. Please come. Please work. Are you asleep to the need that people need the Lord?
Amen.
Are you asleep? We must awake out of sleep. We have been trusted with a great responsibility, brothers and sisters. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is my final verse. I want to leave this with you in your hearts and your minds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust for the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Let's wake up. We are entrusted with the gospel.
Amen.
Who are you pleasing tonight? Lots of questions I have. I have lots of questions. I want you to answer them in your own hearts. I want you to think about them. He has entrusted you with the gospel. And who are you pleasing? Are you pleasing God or are you pleasing men? God tries the heart. So let's wake up. Let's do something for the Lord tonight. God has given us a great responsibility. It's a great one. Amen.